Hello and welcome to the Thai League Central podcast. I'm Gian and I will be your host for today. And I'm joined by two other members of the Thai League Central crew. Firstly, Ta, thank you for joining us and thanks for lending me the hosting chair once again. How are you doing?
Gian, it's an absolute pleasure, man. Season two, we're going to kick things off a little different here. Most people are probably bored of my voice. Now, you know, I always go with the Sawadikap. I always go, hey, what's up? Things like that. But hey, we're gonna do things differently. We have lots and lots of new updates we want to make for Thai League Central for all English content fans out there this summer leading to the 2021 season. So yeah, the first things first, we're gonna give Gian a go at his hosting duties. If it goes bad, then I'll be back, but I'm sure it's gonna go well. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. I didn't realize I was in the hot seat, you know, and I'm going to perform today. Oh damn. And of course, we have Ob Tactic Times back once again. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's great. I've been trying to get fit since I can't play football. You know, of the C word. I'm not going to mention that word here. It's bad.
And looking after the plants well at your house?
Yeah, plants are doing well. Getting lots of sun and water, and it's I'm really happy. But this is not a Thai Cactus Central. This is the Thai League Central podcast. So let's save that conversation for another podcast. Yeah,
Cactus Times on Twitter. I can't wait, man. All right, so we have a lot to discuss today, and the big news that is sort of percolating around the Thai League, Thai football sphere right now is the news of the national team, and we're not going to discuss that today, but I think it's worth going over really quickly about the troubling developments in the camp, because from what we know, two players and two staff members have tested positive for COVID-19. As of now, no one has confirmed who they are, and in my opinion, I think it's better that way. It's better not to pry into who it is, because it is a privacy issue. This may cause some potential complications. I mean, they can't train for the next 14 days if they follow regular regulations from the government. But I think that since the players are all vaccinated, I would expect that to be shortened significantly to allow the players back on the training field as soon as possible. And the issue as well will be about travel complications. So I really hope those things get resolved. And we still haven't confirmed who our final squad will be, and I hope that this doesn't impact who makes the final squad. But we'll keep our ears on that and see what developments emerge from the national team training camp. But for today, we have a few things to discuss. We'll start with BG Batum's managerial change before going on to some other appointments and discussing the promoted clubs in both T1 and T2. So we'll start with BG, where the title winners have replaced Dusit Chilabsan. Despite coming just one game short of winning an unbeaten title, he was moved to coach their T2 side, Rajpacha. And it looks like Aurelio Vidmar will be stepping in his place instead. Oh, I'll go to you first. As a BG fan, what do you think of this decision?
It's pretty surreal and puzzling feeling when I heard the news that... First, when I heard the rumor that this was going to happen, it's hard to believe that BG will really go this route. And then as time goes on, as a BG fan, we try to get our heads around it, and we kind of could see things from the BG perspective that, okay, we need a coach with a proper license to actually compete in the continental tournament. So it's fine. However, I think nobody likes to see a managerial changes. We don't like to see head coach go.
And I mean, the licenses, it's a sort of a cover story, because many teams have coaches who don't have licenses as a head coach, and they have someone in the back room who has a license. Look at Muang Thong right now with Mario Jarovsky, or Chiang Rai last year with Emerson. But I also wanted to ask, since you're a BG fan, what do you think about Aurelio Vidmar specifically as his replacement? Good, bad, what are your thoughts?
As a BG fan from since 2008, I'll say Vidmar is top three, the best coach we've had at the club. The three being Coach Tak at Athapon Buasavakom, basically one of the best ever a Thai coach, especially in the modern game. And then there's Ricardo Rodriguez, who's now works for Urawa Reds in the J League. So that speaks volume about how good he is. And then there's Widmar, who plays amazing football, promotes youth. And over the overall sense around the club at that time when he was coaching was really positive. And it was the same period that I kind of go to a lot of the Rangsit FC game as well. So it's back then, Rangsit FC was the B team for BG. And a lot of under-21s, under-23s, and a lot of the under-19s were playing in that squad. And I think the sense of the players were, they believe if they achieve something well in that Rangsit side, they could get promoted to BG squad. And it all comes down to how Widmar sets up the whole culture of the club. And overall, as a BG fan, I do have only positive memories of Widmar.
Yeah, you hope they can achieve again with Raj Prachar. So I'll come to you as well, Tha. What do you think of the whole situation? And what do you think about Dusit, getting the job as Raj Prachar head coach as well?
Yeah, I think we all know pretty much that BG's creating this big brother, little brother type of vibe in Thai League. And we've seen it many times with many different teams. It's a trend almost nowadays that every big club needs to have at least one other feeder club in a lower league or maybe in the same league. We've seen it happen before with Chiang Rai and Chiang Mai in 2019. But with Dusit, it's a bit of a downgrade, I feel like, that now he's going to have to take care of Raj Prachar, because you look at him, man, 51 years old, win percentage at BG, 75%. 2019 T2 champs, 2020 T1 champs. And if it wasn't for Mario and how he loved those, green kryptonite pants, then BG would have gone undefeated. I'm serious. BG would have gone undefeated. And with Widmar up, you seem to be very high on him, saying that he's a top three guy. But when you look at the stats, when you look at his time since Adelaide, BG, and Lion City Sailors, I do watch a lot of S-League nowadays because, gotta look out for Hassan Sani. Anyways, with Widmar, his win percentage isn't that impressive. It's less than 50%. I think it's hovering just above 40%. He does play good, attractive football, and he does promote youth, but he doesn't get the results. And a lot of times you think that Dusit doesn't play good football. It's a lot of set pieces, a lot of penalties. It's very defensive, three at the back. We're not going to concede. But is that what BG is going to change to do? Are they going to be more expansive? Are they going to play the more attractive side? Because if Widmar doesn't win the league this year, it's a failure. It's a failure. I'm just going to put it out there. You kick out the guy who's won two league titles in a row. I don't care if it's T2, but he's won two in a row with BG. And you look at what BG is building. All the players have already recruited this summer. It's the most out of any club so far, even more than Buriram, even more than Bangkok United, even more than Chiang Rai. If Widmar doesn't go on and win the league and at least advances to the next round of AFC Champions League, this hiring is an absolute failure. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah, I'd agree with that it's a failure, but it's not only a failure on Widmar's part, it's a failure of judgment to replace a guy who has been so successful. But again, BG's perspective with the licenses, as you said, so it's, two perspectives to see here. If I were BG, I wouldn't take the risk with him, and I would have kept Dusit. I think most people would say that. And I'm going to ask my first hot take question of the podcast, bringing back one of Tha's old favorites to throw at you. And I'm going to demand a yes or no, which I myself never gave when I was in your position, so I'm a bit of a hypocrite. But if you were Dusit and you were given this deal, so this deal is you stay within the BG system, you go to Raj Prachar, you get your pro license, and we keep, you have consistency, you have, you're paid well, you stay at the club, go get your pro license, and then in the future, who knows, maybe you come back. Or let's say a club in the bottom half of T1 offers you a contract to come and be the head coach there. Which would you take? I'll go to Tha first.
Mate, if I get an offer that says head coach somewhere else, not related to the BG system, I'm taking the job. Not only are you probably getting more wages as the main man somewhere else in the T1 level, accepting to go to Rapasha is almost an ego hit in a way because you look at Dusit, man. This guy is one of the most decorated players and managers in Thailand. I would take the job because what's the point of using that AFC license, you know, that pro license excuse if you can get it any other summer and Thai League doesn't even require it. So I'm going somewhere else. Yeah, I'm jumping ships.
Yeah, Alb, I'm guessing that, you know, taking impartial, you hopefully say the same thing.
I'll take the job. I'll leave BG. I'm a football coach first, a BG coach second. A football manager is like a tiger tamer. You gotta be fearless. You gotta be confident. You gotta have the charisma and the power to control the room. Or else when you get into that cage, the tiger is gonna eat you up. And right now, by BG sending Dusit to Rajwasha, that's like the owner of the circus showing the tiger that he could like slap, you know, the tiger tamer around. Like, then you could be bully, and the next time you get into that cage, you're dead. You're like free lunch for the tigers. So no, Dusit. If I'm Dusit, I'll leave. My ego, my integrity as a coach is bigger than some project. And that's the end of my TED Talk.
Well, thank you very much for that. Inspirational, absolutely. And I think from BG's end, you know, like to sort of the pressure they've put on themselves now to go and one-up themselves from last year because they're basically saying, we did the best we can do, but we think we can do better. The pressure they've put on themselves and, you know, on Vidmar, unfortunately, because he doesn't deserve the pressure, I think, that was mentioning. To put it on yourself is a very strange thing to do. But you know what? It is what it is. It's the Thai League, and it wouldn't be the Thai League if it wasn't completely insane like it is. So moving on to another couple of clubs who have changed their manager. So Prachuap parted ways with Coach Wang Thawachai Damrong Ongtrakun right after the end of the season. He's been in charge since 2017. And at the time of his departure, he was the longest-serving T1 coach. And he was replaced by Masa Mitaki. In turn, Coach Wang went to replace Somchai Choi Bunchum at Nongbua. So the two interesting appointments. I'll go to Ta first. What do you think of these two?
Yeah, I'll start with the Taki one since you mentioned that first. Masa Mitaki probably has the best agent out there in terms of Japanese coaches because you look at the profile, you look him up on Wikipedia and Transfer Market, there's not much there. There's not much substance that you could look at and go, he's a good coach. You know, he has just around a 30% win ratio. That isn't that good if you want to win. That's very, very low. He managed twice at Thai Honda now don't even exist anymore. Chiang Rai got little time. It was one of the weirdest hirings of 2020, I think. Just a very mediocre performance there. With Rayong, I don't think you can talk much about Rayong because Rayong are Rayong and everyone knew that they were going to get relegated. But now it's time that we kind of can judge how good Taki really is because the previous clubs have sort of been okay and not that good at Rayong. But Prachuap are a team that finished mid-table. They finished 10th last year with 37 points. It's a project that if you want to do well, there's definitely room to do well. You know, League Cup, right? Toyota League Cup in 2019. Prachuap won that. They got a good fan base down south. It's the only southern-ish club. And in terms of the foreign players, if they do keep the foreign set, it's a set that can do a lot of damage against teams in that area. So for me, this is the season that we will see how good Taki really is. So with Prachuap, risky hiring, but it could be rewarding if this guy is actually as good as, you know, his agent seems to be. Now with Tawachai, Coach Wang, it's weird. It's a disappointing season for him because during his time from Bajuup early on in 2018, 2019, and 2020, it was almost like an upscale project, you know, bringing them to more recognition in the league. 2018, they had that big thrashing against Mung Tong. They get a lot of support at home. 2019, they went on and won the Toyota League Cup. They beat Buriram in the final. Not many people gave them a chance. And this year, they were at the relegation area for most of the time. Their owner, you know, is a big investor in football. So he was expecting a lot of results. And he didn't get that. It's just basically a very mediocre finish, like we graded them a few podcasts ago. So with Nong Bua, they kicked Nashuai out. And Nashuai helped them win Thai League 2. And Coach Wang, the only way that he's going to be a success is if Nong Bua don't go down again. So his job is to keep Nong Bua up. That's all he has to do. Because if you're a newly promoted side, the main thing is not to get relegated. So they went with the man that they believe will not get them relegated in Coach Wang and has a lot of experience. Nashua is sort of like the Big Sam. You know, he's good with teams hovering around the area, but Nong Bua hiring Coach Wang is actually a bit of a stance that maybe they want more than just staying alive. Maybe they want something more. So hopefully Coach Wang has that to offer. That's my take on two teams.
Yeah, so I was going to go to Op first, but now I've got to fight you on Taki a little bit, you know, as his biographer who wrote the article. And I got to correct the record a little bit here. I mean, you can go points per game on a guy who spent like the most of his career being a youth coach. I don't think that's a good measure. Like, when you look at his youth coaching CV, the Jubilo Iwata, Seretse Osaka, most coaches who are youth coaches there have done pretty well in Thailand. And the thing about Japanese clubs, like, they tend to promote internally, right? So like someone who's a U19 coach at a club like that is actually not far away from coaching their first team because they like to promote internally. And also he came really close to getting Thai Honda promoted 2 years in a row. And if he had done that, I think to get his name on the big stage that long time ago, he could have achieved a lot more by now in Thailand. His football also is, you know, pretty disciplined. It's the kind of football you want to play to survive in the league. And it's, I think it's a bit more expansive than Coach Wang. You know, I think that he had not, you know, didn't have many players at Rayong. He still managed to play pretty well off the ball, defensively, pressing. They were pretty good. I mean, on the ball, it was a different story because there was just nobody up front other than, you know, Metis Sarakam. There was nobody to put the ball in the back of the net. But I think for most of the game, they were not as bad. I think they were not as bad as Thrat once he took over. That's, you know, what I think. And if he'd been there from the beginning, it wouldn't have been so terrible for them. And I'll go to you, Ob. Interesting thing about these two appointments is that I would say that both these teams last year achieved their objectives. You know, Nong Bua got promoted, Prachuap survived. They both achieved their objectives, yet they both replaced their manager. So what do you make of that?
I think in the case of Prachuap, I think they needed an evolution. They need to evolve, and Ta was right. They brought, like, Coach Wang brought Prachuap up, kept them up, had a good cup run. But this season, they kind of hit a plateau, and I think it's time to change, like, and freshen things up. And Taki, again, like you said, he's really organized, but plays in a more expansive way. I, in my opinion, I think that's a good appointment. Prachuap, I think they did well so far in the transfer market. So Taki brought two players he worked with on loan at Rayong. So Shinawat Wongchai, an excellent young defender. I love this guy since his PTT Rayong days. Played really well under Coach Jo Thirasak Poon. Coach Jo even touted him as like a future Thailand defender, but who knows. Anyway, he plays well for PTT Rayong, was signed by Buriram, and then Buriram loaned him to Rayong, where he was an important part of a bad team. And then now Taki loans him again. Because Edward Joop, he's worked, Taki has to work with a budget. And he also brought in Métis Sarakham. Yeah. Someone who had a solid like end to the season under Taki. And another interesting signing is Selvan Al-Jarabi. So this guy comes from Grand Andaman Rayong United. That's a T2 club in the south. A club with close connection to PT Pajuab. And this guy, Selvan, he's 30 years old. He scored 8 goals in 15 appearances in the second leg of last season. If he could get 10 from 30 games in the Thai League, that'll be a win for a small club like PT Pajuab. And this guy, Selvan, he used to play for the Iraqi under 23s as well. So a pretty good profile. As for Nong Bua, staying up is, that should be their main objective. And Coach Wang knows how to do it. And they've signed, again, you need a good defense to stay up. And they've signed Amani Aguinaldo, the Filipino international who had a solid first half of the season with that. And then they've also signed Sathapon Dangsi, one of the best player for that last season. And a young attacking midfielder from the Nakhon Ratchasima, Vidawat. This guy, technically gifted, another XBG Academy player who didn't get a chance to shine, but Nong Bua, they're doing well. And I think if there's a side that's going to stay up, I think Nong Bua is up there. Nong Bua, that looks good.
PT looks good. I think it's a smart move from Nong Bua because they're not spending a massive amount, you know, unlike some clubs, other promoted clubs you come on to in a second, who are, you know, trying to spend money and attract big name players. Nong Bua are not doing that. They're sort of, you know, laying the foundation slowly. That's sort of a smart way to go about it, including stadium renovations, you know, a lot of emphasis on the youth team. That's going to be coming good for them soon. So I think that the main thing is, like, they need to be able to stay in T1 until the reward for those efforts comes through. So it's a smart point from them. I'm going to come to my second hot take question of the episode. Who is going to finish higher this season, Prachuap or Nong Bua? I'll go to Ob first because he looks like he's most harassed by this question.
Me?
Yeah, you first. You look more concerned. Okay.
PT Pajuap. I'm a big fan of how Pajuap runs. And although the past season, without the fans, they have their worst season. I think with Taki coming, I think it's going to freshen things up. And the players look interesting. They are trying to lower their average age of the squad. And I think all in all, the experience of being in the T1 would benefit them. And they will finish higher than Nong Bua Pichaya.
So I take it you think both will survive then this season?
Mm-hmm. But PT Pachu up higher.
Yeah. Right. Now what about you? Who's going to be higher and will they both survive?
Nah, Pratchuap's not going to survive. They're going to go down. I think Pratchuap's going to get relegated. It's about time. You've seen the trends in the last season. Most of the season, they were hovering around that relegation area. If it wasn't for William Mota going crazy, they would have been relegated. So I think that Pratchuap are going down. So by default, Nong Bua is going to finish higher.
Interesting. Got conflicting answers there. I will remember this and I'll come back at the end of the season to see who was correct and who wasn't. That'll be quite fun to see who got this prediction right. So now we're going to go to discuss the promoted clubs more generally. We've already mentioned Nong Bua, newcomers to T1, and we touched on Rajpasha a bit, newcomers to T2, who have just got Dusit, who is incredibly adept at getting teams promoted, did it with Dra, did it with BG, now Rajpasha as well. We'll go to the other two new T1 clubs first. And I'll go to Tha's hometown club, Chiang Mai United, caused a big stir by coming up to T1 this season. They had a very strong end to the campaign and now they're looking to spend money and, you know, make an impression for themselves in their first season in the top flight. So Tha, what's it like in Chiang Mai right now? What do you think this team will achieve this season?
Look, first of all, to all the Chiang Mai FC supporters out there who listen to this podcast, greetings to you all. You know, I just want to say thank you for all the love. I did jump ship, so I'll accept it right now. Used to be a Chiang Mai FC supporter, but right now, the way that team is heading, I've happily jumped over to the United side of things. So I am red and black now. It's a very interesting time to be a Chiang Mai United supporter, because they are looking like a side that is actually doing the business at a T1 level. You look at the ownership first. So the owner, Khun Pichai, not only is he the Nayok Obachor, the governor, he also hired Khun Kitirat Naranong, who is a big time former Thai national team manager who managed the players and the off-field aspect of the national team before. Now, Khun Kitirat will be the club's consultant. So in terms of knowing what to do from the board level, Chiang Mai United are stable. They have people who have worked at the national team level before taking care of things there. In terms of the club's ground, 700-year stadium is good to go. There will be seating all now throughout the stands. So we'll see 20,000 seats around in total. So a big positive there, as the club is taking it seriously and not playing at, you know, the back of some university outside of the city that they played at for T2. So that's a plus. Manager looks to be Sirapong Kongtep. He's done it before in Thai League One. He got Sukhothai relegated. Part of it was his fault, but also I feel like the players didn't fully buy in, and there was a lot of problems interior inside the club. So not all his fault, but he does take some of the blame. Now to the players. Recently, Epson Patricio just signed a 2-year extension. Yannick Boli loan from Port. Melvin De Lu is staying. Nuan Mungam staying. Poon Sak or Salawut Masuk is staying. Sirisak Faidong played over 2,500 minutes and is the most capped player last season, is staying. This team, it's just going upwards. You know, 2017 T4 North Champs, 2018 T3 North Champs, 2019 survive in T2, and 2020 they are now into T1 after finishing second. It's very, very good to be a Chiang Mai United fan right now, and hopefully more Chiang Mai people are getting hyped about this team, because why not get hyped about them? You know, this is one of the biggest provinces, the second biggest province behind Bangkok in terms of popularity, in terms of the amount of businesses, in terms of the development. Everything is ready for Chiang Mai to become the next powerhouse outside of Bangkok. They have the potential to be better than Koh Rad. You see the players right here. It's definitely T1 level. So a very exciting time. I'm very hyped about it. The only thing I'm disappointed about is I want Chiang Mai United to sign a current national team player into the side. That would definitely build this team up. There's a lot of players who have played before in T1. There's a lot of players who can play in T1. But I think if there's a proven star, a national team level player who can come to this team, then they are for sure going to do damage in the Thai League.
Oh, thank you very much for that propaganda monologue. Really appreciate it. I'll go to Aub on the question of Sirapong Kongtep. Is he a good manager?
If we took a time machine, go back to 2018 or 2019, and you ask me, do I like Sirapong Kongtep? I'll say yes. Do I like Dennis Amato? I'll say yes. And if you ask me now, I still think I'll give you the same answer. I do like Sirapong Kongtep. I do like Dennis Amato. And is Sirapong Kongtep a good coach? Yes. Did he do a good job at Sukhothai? Not really. Is it his fault? 50-50. As in, yeah, he started off the season well. But as he lose Evandro, the big Brazilian striker, that kind of affected how he could set up his team. But all in all, I think Ta mentioned it. There are issues inside that club. Definitely issue inside that club. Sukhothai keeps hiring and firing and then rehire a manager, something is wrong inside that club. And I don't think, so in terms of the politics of football, Surapong Kongthep dealt with that aspect of the club well. Because you got to remember, Surapong Kongthep, Coach An, he was a youth coach at Mueang Thong, then went to Pattaya, who was a feeder club to Mueang Thong, and basically worked with the Mueang Thong young players. So he is someone who drives in a long-term project, a club with a long-term vision. And then to go to a team like Sukhothai with this constant changing and storm inside the club, like, we can't blame him too much when it didn't work out. So Coach An, Surapong Kongthep, is a good coach, and I hope he does well with Chiang Mai United, a club with big resources. The only thing I don't agree with Tai is when he said Chiang Mai could be better than Korat. Because that's a bit, I don't know.
Well, if we're on the topic, I'll ask you both right now, where do you think, what region of the table will Chiang Mai finish in? I'll go to Ob first, because I think I got a big answer for this. I'll go to Ob first. Just a number, a region of the table.
Lower mid-table. You can't expect a club.
Yeah.
Like, the tie, I'm not so sure. I'll hold my hands up and I'll say, I don't watch a lot of T2. But whenever I watch Chiang Mai, I don't think I'm confident with the style and quality of football. It's the inconsistency I'm worried about when they have to play week in, week out at the higher, like a T1 level. And I think over the long run, they will have good spells, but over the long run, they'll end up in the lower mid-table spot.
Do you agree with that, Ta?
I think, though, for the first T1 season, they'll finish 13th. So just above relegation. You know, they won't get relegated, but they will just survive. I think that we've seen the trend. It was easy back in T4 and T3. That doesn't count. But the first season in T2 in 2018, they finished around that area, just, you know, above the relegation-ish area. So for a first season in T1, survival is enough for this team, and you can build later.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. I think I'd agree with that as well. I mean, the fact they're spending money, you just got to hope that they can keep it up and, you know, be consistent and lay good foundations for the future. Another club, that just today we got news from them, it's Konkan United. Also, they were the winners of the playoffs in T2. As of today, they've hired Carlos Eduardo Pereira, who previously coached Chiang Mai United and Chiang Mai FC, and he was an assistant to Alejandro Gama at both Buriram United and Chiang Rai. He's been appointed to Konkan, who, of course, they got promoted under the under an interim manager. So now they've appointed him as their full-time head coach. What do we think of Konkan United, and what can they expect this season? Now, I'll go to Ob this time.
I have a good memory of Carlos Eduardo Pereira when he took charge of Chiang Mai. So that gives me hope that they're going to do well, especially considering Konkan. I wasn't impressed with the style of football they put on, especially in the knockout playoff, of the promotion playoff, sorry. I think I'm not sure they could perform well with Douglas Kobo playing in as a defensive midfielder in T1. Like, Kobo is a club legend. He's been there. He's helped the club from the lower leagues and then now reached the T1. But I'm not sure he has a quality on the ball. I would prefer to have Kobo back in defense. And I think let's see how they recruit and we'll go from there. But at the moment, I'm still 50-50. I'm on the fence with them, whether they're going to go down or not.
Yeah, I think it'll be a very tough job to keep Konkan United up because of how strong the league is this year. You know, you think last year we had two clubs who were really struggling, and even then it was really tight. A lot of big clubs were dragged into the relegation battle because you only have 16 teams. Nong Bua and Chiang Mai have both shown a lot of, you know, a lot of intent in their early actions and in their early planning. I think it'll be a big feat for Konkan to sort of match that. So what do you make of them, Ta? How will they do this year?
Yeah, I'm just going to go out there and give my hot take. I think Konkan will be relegated. I don't really think that... I don't rate their style of football. Most of Thailand got to see how they played in that playoff match against Nakhon Pathom. I actually thought Nakhon Pathom was going to go through. They crawled their way back late and basically Konkan gave up pretty much the game to Nakhon Pathom. And most of the time, I think that Nakhon Pathom had better chances in front of goal. Anyways, throughout the season, I think Konkan, the Thai players in their side don't have a lot of quality. It's a T2 / even T3 player in their squad. The foreigners aren't really T1 experience. They don't have a lot of foreigners that will do a lot of damage at the highest level. I'm seeing a lot of resemblance of a bit of Trat in their in terms of the Thai quality players. So yeah, not really confident on Konkan. However, if they do turn things around with Carlos, who is a good coach, then definitely they can cause a bit of chaos. But it's gonna be very hard for Konkan to stay up. And we've seen it many times. That third team that comes up from T2, it often struggles a lot. You know, the T1 standard and to T2 is a big jump. You can't have players who are predominantly T2 levels and expecting them over a summer to train hard and be able to compete with the T1 boys. So definitely they got to go out and buy like what Nong Bua and Chiang Mai are doing, or they're in big, big trouble. And I think they might go down. I think they'll probably go down actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably true for the local players. But I mean, if I were them, I'd keep Kobo, I'd keep David Cuerva, who looked pretty good from what I saw. It'd be interesting to see how they shape up for the season. I was a lot more pessimistic about them until I saw Carlos getting appointed. And I think there's a shot there. There's a possibility. I don't think there'll be any team this season that's going to be like way down by the bottom. I think everybody will be, you know, pretty close together. It will be a tough relegation battle. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this one develops. Going to T2 now, because there are a few promoted clubs in T2 who are also making a lot of noise and attracting a lot of attention. The main one, of course, being Muangkan United, who have spent a lot of money already signing Kayon Asamsao and Filippo Sian to fill their foreign quota. Oh, and Jonathan Rees to fill their foreign quota. They've also signed Sintawi Chai from Chonburi and Jit Panyatisut from Ratchaburi. A lot of high-quality T1 players joining their team, and they look like they want to come straight up to the top flight. So I'll go to Ob first. What do you think of Muangkan?
They are a weird club. Like how Muangkan is Muangkan runs their club like a kid playing FIFA. Like, oh, this guy's good. This guy's got good ratings. I'm gonna sign him. And that's how like it is. Look, when your owner of a club tries to loan out a player, and he posts it on Instagram, no, on Facebook, sorry. My foreigner quota is full. This player is free for loan. Any club interested, contact my what's that word again? Oh, I forgot. Assistant. It's surreal. That club is surreal, Muangkan. Again, last season I was making fun of them as the, I think I mentioned in a conversation, they're like the pawn shop team. Because like all their signs are like experienced players or failed wonder kids. That's what they do. And look, okay, it worked out for them. They got promoted to T2. And now they're doing the same with an upgrade. They're signing old T1 players to get their job done in T2 so they could shoot straight to T1. And if they actually get, if their plan worked out and they come up to T1, I guarantee you they'll make big changes and they'll sign 5 experienced big name again in T1 to stay up. And that's what I thought on Muangkan. They're so weird. Like, how are they going to play with all that foreign Brazilian? Like, come on, Leandro Samsao and Kion, who's going to chase the ball? What? Do you expect Sushao to run around for you? No, that's not going to happen.
How come the filter comes off when I'm the host? Huh? How come the filter just completely gone?
And now that I've said that, I don't think I'll ever work for Menggan. I don't think I'll be able to set foot in the Menggan stadium.
Well, it depends what stadium they use, right? Because they're renovating the Canterbury Stadium to put in floodlights, which were not there before. So that's kind of important. If you
I don't think, yeah, but I don't think
they're going to need floodlights.
But in all seriousness, I don't think Menggan's going to get promoted in one season. I don't think so.
I've had this discussion before with Ta, and I've been saying I think Sukhothai will win D2 because of my own biases. And Ta says that he thinks, I mean, when I spoke, that, you know, you sounded positive about Menggan. So are you still positive about them? And how do you think they'll do in D2?
Mate, I am absolutely on the hype train. I put on my seatbelt, adjusted the seat a bit back so I'm in a relaxed position, and I'm ready to ride this train to Thai League 1 because Menggan United are going to win Thai League 2.
And
they're going to win it in some style. You've seen all the quality players they are getting. Assam Sao and Kion, the duo single-handedly kept Suphanburi up in Thai League 1. They scored, I think, like some crazy stat, like 12 out of the 15 goals in the second leg or something like that for the club. And if the rumors are confirmed, they might get one of my favorite players into the team as well. So you can sort of guess who that is. But look, this team is basically going... they're just not messing around. They want to stay in Thai League 2 as short as possible. And if you spend heavy in that one season in Thai League 2, there's always that model, you know, I think what Konkan did, and before that, did Ubon did it also? And there was maybe another team, I'm not sure, the Thai League 3 to Thai League 2 to Thai League 1, where they can do it in consecutive seasons. But mate, I would love for Menggan to be playing in Thai League 1. They're a team that basically hyped everything up in the lower regions. I never watched T3 before this year. And then when Menggan started getting, you know, Su Chau and Golawit and Badipan and all these ex-Thai League wonder kids into their team, I started looking at them and, hey, I think this team will win Thai League 2. I'm all for them, man. I'm all for them. The fire bats of Menggan will be better than the fire bats of Sukhothai. Mark my words.
Ooh, okay. Now you've got it on the record. You know, I think Sukhothai is going to win. I think Menggan will come up. You're saying Menggan will win the whole thing. And often they won't even get promoted. I absolutely love this. And this is on air now. I cannot wait. Yeah, like, you know.
Like, Ta is someone who, okay, If me and Tai walks, like, meets a football club owner, and the owner said, "Guys, I'm gonna run this football club like a theme park," I'll be saying, "No, oh no, what is this?" And Tai will be saying, "Yes, why not? Let's do it. Let's get on that roller coaster."
Mate, I fastened my seatbelt. Like I said, I'm ready for the ride, man. I'm ready.
Yeah, it's fun. It makes fun to talk to you guys and work with you guys, and you know. I see this every day. It's great. It's amazing. Another club that's come up to T2 and has been doing a fair bit of business, signing a couple of players. They've signed Thiago Chalapa and Juan Dehi from Police Terro. That is Lamphun Warriors, another northern team, the Lanna representative in T2. So, Ta, I'll go to you on this one. What do you make of them? And will they be in the hunt for promotion?
Yeah, I think Lamphun, the hype or the comparison, okay, the comparison I like to make for Lamphun is Menggan Junior. So a lower budget version of Menggan, because you can sort of see the trend that they're making, you know, sign these T1 mid-table, you know, lower table players to their side who can definitely score goals, can definitely defend, can do things, you know. The Su Chau for Menggan Lampoon has the adun for Lampoon. You know what I mean? There's that element that is replicating where, you know, a solid older player who controls the game for them, then you sign a bit of T1 quality. The only difference, though, with Lampoon is that there's a bigger drop-off in terms of Thai players. And I'm not going to go to the names and everything because you probably don't care and don't know most of their names at this level. But the quality of player is lower than Mueang Kan. So don't expect Lampoon to go up to Thai League 1 right away. They won't. They will not. They'll probably finish mid-table. But it's an interesting project because their owner is very, very wealthy. And I like to share this fun story, but Thiraton Bunmathan will end his career in Lampoon. Mark my words down. Thiraton Bunmathan and the owner of Lampoon are very close. And yeah, it's a team that has that fantasy element to it, which, hey, that has a very special place in my heart because they are another northern club, but they won't go up right away. It's a slow and steady project that's building up, not as fast as Mueang Kan. So stay tuned, Lampoon fans, if there are any who listens to this, but you're probably going to be in Thai League 2 for 2 to 3 seasons. So yeah.
Yeah, well, you sort of answered my next question, which is going to be the final hot take question of the episode. Because last season, it's a fun stat, all three of the promoted sides into T2 last season made the playoffs. That would be United, Nakhon Pathom United, and Khon Kaen United. So all three of them made the playoffs in last season's T2 after coming from T3 right away. Do you think we will see the same thing this year with Dusit and Rajpracha, with the absolute Football Manager, lovely stuff going on at Mueang Kan, and of course Lampoon doing something similar. Do you think all three of them will be able to make the playoffs or thereabouts once again? I'll go to Ta first.
I'm gonna go with no. I don't think all three of them will. I'll give you my early predictions for who's gonna make Thai League 1, so who's gonna get out of T2. I'm gonna go with, like I said, Mueang Kan winning the league. I think that Sukhothai will come second, and the third place team, bit of a hot take, but I think that Chinat Hornbill will be back in the Thai League 1. They'll be the third team. So those are my three.
Those are my three as well. Chinat. Yeah, for sure.
When Ta said Lampoon is a downgrade version of Mueang Kan, it's quite funny because, like, if Mueang Kan have Sin Thuy Chai as their old experienced keeper, Lampoon just signed Samuel Cunningham. Yeah. So again, a downgrade version. If Mueang Kan has Leandro Asamsao, they have Kion, they have those guys. Then Lampoon, they just signed Ronachai Rangsio. Like, that guy is old. If Mueang Kan, again, if Mueang Kan, they have an ex-wonder kid, such as Patipan Tin Serm Su Si, they have Monty Pomsawat, an ex-wonder kid. Then Lampoon, they have Artist Sunthorn Pit, the Thai Beckham of Khon Kaen. Like, the comparison is real. And now I could see why Ta is on the hype train for, like, Lampoon as well. Like,
yeah, with the hype train, just to clarify, Mueang Kan, I'm already on the train. I'm buckled up and ready. Lampoon, I bought the ticket, but I haven't showed up yet.
Right, so I'll wrap up by going with the same question to Ob. Which three teams do you think will come up to T1?
I hope Chinat goes up because I love how they run their club. I love the longevity and I love how they promote youth. I hope Chinat goes up. I hope Nakhon Pathom goes up as well. Nakhon Pathom, they've been trying for years and I hope this time is their time. And another team, ooh, that's tough. But at the moment, I'll go with Lampang. Why not Lampang?
Lampang's pitch is probably worse than my front yard. I'm just going to put it out there.
I'm just going to let that sit there because my next sentence was going to be, I really hope we cover T2 more next season because it's shaping up to be really fun. I will add, I hope we do a lot more justice to T2 than we have in this pod. So I think next year's T2 will be very interesting. A lot of teams in there who are showing good ambition, who are planning well for the future. And there's a whole range of like approaches in T2. You've got teams like Chinat, who are all about the youth. You've got Murugan, who are on their fantasy football mystery tour. So it's just quite fun to watch how that's going to, you know, unfold next season. And honestly, I think it'll be quite interesting compared to last year. The year coming up in both T1 and T2, I think you'll have a lot of competition for the relegation in T1 and the promotion in T2 will be one of the most exciting things about next season. Right, so that's all we have time for in this episode of the Thai League Central podcast. Thank you so much for joining us and thank you for supporting us on our Twitter, Facebook, and through our website. Hopefully, we'll be seeing a lot more of you this season. Thank you very much and see you all next time.